Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Gaming News. What no one else knew until now is that I'm still in my jammies. Okay,
so
we've got some gaming
news
coming
up. I would be more comfortable if you were nude.
Really?
Jammies.
Yeah.
Jammies. What's wrong with you?
Can I make it worse?
I'm wearing lounge pants.
They're technically Allison's.
That's somehow better. I don't know
there
why.
There you go. They're technically Allison's.
That's confusing me.
You can steal some of your girlfriend's clothes. You've just got to really be careful what you steal. For example, there's a little black lace number that, I look spectacular in, quite frankly. But also the lounge panty fleecy. They're like fleecy trousers. It's like a hug for your legs.
I've always wanted to try lederhosen because they're sort of lined on the inside with fur.
Really, are they?
And you're not supposed to wear underwear with them. So it's sort of, apparently a wonderful experience.
I want one of those hoodies. Have you seen those hoodies that are advertised where they have a big pocket on the front? It's for crazy cat people and you can put your cat in it.
I have not seen those.
Yes. The hoodie has little cat ears.
I'm a dog person. Let him fucking walk.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think putting Paisley in a hoodie pocket would go well.
No, I'm not saying Jasmine will get in it, but it's a good place to put crisps in the meantime.
Oh, that is a good use of it. That is a good use of it. So, okay then, gaming news. We're going to start off with what looks like the appropriate thing to start with on the list. Holy shit, a sealed copy of Mario Brothers sold for $30,000.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah.
I really, part of me just really hopes that it's an empty box.
Yeah. This is the problem.
How would you know? Because to find out, you would need to open it.
Exactly.
Which would destroy the value.
I recently watched, there is a podcast and also a YouTube by Pat the NES Punk, who it's a great show that I've forgotten the name of, the CU podcast, completely unnecessary podcast. And it's all NES stuff, Nintendo stuff. Nice. And they were talking about this and they were talking about sort of grading video games in the same way that one might grade comics. And yeah. and why it's appropriate to do that with comics, but not really to do it with computer games. And the difference is that with comics, you go through every single page and make sure that everything is perfect. But with computer games, the point is that's a sealed box.
Mm-hmm.
What's in that box? What's in the box?
It's Schrodinger's video game.
It really is.
It literally could be an empty box.
Yeah.
With just a bit of, a weight inside. This is,
no one knows.
To pay that much money.
I can't quite get my head around it.
It's 30 grand American. I used to be able to estimate this quite well in my head, dollars to pounds.
But yeah, it's all over the fucking place these days.
It's all over the place. Yeah, 22 grand, 23 basically. 23 grand for a copy of Mario.
We should say, you must not play. This is not like, and now you can play Mario Brothers. This is don't fucking touch it.
No, yeah, you pay this $30,100, and then you have to pay the extra £5 to get it on whichever Nintendo console you want to play it on.
Yeah, on the virtual console. Just.
Yeah.
I can't quite.
It's not like
it.
Vinyl. It's not like vinyl where when you buy the vinyl, it comes with a download code so that you can play it, on a computer like a normal person would.
Yeah. And it's the fact that it's sealed as well that makes it cost so much money. Yeah. You can get an unsealed copy for nearly nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's Super Mario Brothers.
It came with everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a similar thing. Try looking for a copy of Wii Sports. There aren't many of those.
I wonder which is more common, the copy that's just Super Mario Bros. Or the one that came with Super Mario Bros. And Duck Hunt.
Ah.
On the same. I wonder which one of those is more common.
With no information, would guess the one with Duck Hunt.
I think so too. That's the only one that I've personally seen in the wild.
Yeah, me too.
I just think what makes this really quite remarkable is like we're saying, there's nothing you can't get this game on, essentially. And even for the NES, I mean, it's because it's mint. I mean, because I'm the child of a vinyl collector. My dad collects collect vinyl and stuff like that. And more often than not, the things that are valuable are the things which are wrong, if you see what I mean, the things with mistakes on.
Yeah.
And things
misprints, stuff like that.
Misprints and things that didn't have a huge print run. But like I say, I think every loft in the nation must have a copy of Super Mario Brothers in it, I think, at this point. It's like, you know, you bought a new house. Okay, so here you have a vinyl copy of Frampton Comes Alive, and here's a box of that plays Super Mario Brothers. It just comes with it. So I think it's remarkable that, you know, something that's so exceedingly I mean, the really famous NES, I think it's a NES game, was it Stadium Events, I think it's called, which is the one that is very exceedingly rare, and whenever it goes on sale, it sells for something in the region of this what this one sold for. So I just think that's what really made it stand out. I think that's why, you know, that it's getting talked about. It's because an incredibly common game has gone for that amount of money.
I'm on CEX right now. I can tell you that the price for an unboxed Super Mario Brothers for the NES
Super Mario Brothers
is £8.
Well, it's appropriate because I feel like I've been kicked in the head.
Yeah.
But
and the version with Duck Hunt, also £8. So,
ooh, which one do they have more of, though?
If only it said, I don't know.
They don't.
And the fact that they're the same price really doesn't help. Like, could one just be maybe a little bit 50p more for the Duck Hunt one or something? That might help. But you can also get for £12 the cartridge with Super Mario Brothers, Tetris and World Cup Soccer.
Not bad. That's
Tetris and Super Mario Brothers on the same cartridge. That's a fun time.
That's a life ender.
It really is right there. Yeah. So, you know, £12.
Not bad at all.
Don't pay £30,000 for a new one. That's silly.
Don't pay £30,000 for what is probably an empty box.
Yeah. I mean, God, on that podcast, they also pointed out, what if it's a saveable game with an internal battery? That internal battery that has been sealed up for 30 years and has probably leaked out all over the inside of the cartridge and destroyed it beyond any use. You know, but you'll never know because it's sealed. So, yeah, Schrodinger's game. Valve pulls popular sex game from Steam. Developer blames complaints about pornography. Who's complaining about pornography? Right. When sex comedy game House Party launched on Steam last month, seemingly uncensored, people were surprised. Steam doesn't have a blanket ban on nudity, but it often requires brazenly naughty games to pocket their packages and obscure their unmentionables. In House Party, you can just whip your dick out, because it's not a party until someone's dick is out. This is from Kotaku. Really? I hadn't... Okay. I have to play the video of the game here.
Of course you do.
I mean, it looks essentially like a Sims game, really.
Isn't there? I mean, I'm, you know, I don't want to be judgmental, but I mean, why do people play these sex games? If you want to watch pornography, there's lots of porn you can watch right now for free.
Yeah.
With actual humans in.
What, really?
Yeah. Awesome. I don't know why. Okay, see you in a couple of years, Mike. It's been fun.
That's the sound of my penis is rickety.
So you can play this game, and it's just, right, is it just shagging in game four?
I'm just waving your knob at people, I think, judging by the description on Kotaku.
I really don't need a game for that either, although the judge told me not to anymore. But apart from that, on this fighting at house party, it's just a...
This is the thing. I posted a little follow up to this because I saw the story and I thought, huh, that's funny. But then it turns out the game is it's a bit more creepy than that. You know, it's more than sleazy. It turns out that a lot of it is like quite predatory sexual behavior. You know, you are. Let's have a look. You can convince women to have sex with you by getting them drunk, blackmailing them over nude photos stolen from their phone, jamming their phones to isolate them from other. It is.
And what problem people had was nudity.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a bit.
It's a bit weird.
It is a bit odd. Can I even submit this theory that there is absolutely no nudity in this game? There are drawings of people who have no clothes on. But in terms of naked people, the count seems to be zero to me. It's drawings.
Yeah,
Well, it seems to be 3D models, you know, 3D renders.
Yeah.
Which is worse.
They're not even that good. I mean, it's...
I've seen some high-quality anime in my time, and, you know...
Yeah. This doesn't...
This does not seem to be to that standard.
It's not really beyond Sims sort of 2 or 3 in terms of its look here, is it? So, it's not pornographic. It's just drawing. Oh, well. But they've pulled it off Steam.
I know, but this is the thing. It's back. Put it back up. This was the follow-up story. They put it back up with black bars censoring the naughty bits. So is it still up now? Let's have a look. Let's open up Steam. House Party. I'm amazed that nobody... Sometimes a game pops up with a name and you're like, what, nobody to this day has used that name before? House Party.
Yeah. Why isn't there a game called House Party?
Yeah, $10.99.
Surprised there isn't a PS2 game of Noel's House Party. They could do that. I'd have no problem with this game.
If they brought Noel's House Party back, it would be sort of a Love Island type thing where, you know, they would be trapping them in bedrooms.
What?
Forcing them.
We're putting your car keys in a bowl on the coffee table. Yeah. What is Love Island? I apologize if that's a can of worms right there.
I've never watched it.
Neither have I.
It appears to be a bunch of drunk common folk, you know, the type essence.
Yeah.
On an island.
Yeah.
And they fuck.
Okay. That is the elevator pitch for that show right there, isn't it?
Pretty much. It's just sort of give some people of dubious intelligence who are sort of young and impressionable, a lot of alcohol, and hope that they sort of grubbly pour at each other for the amusement of the outside world.
The city of Halifax places faith in its future on the same sort of system. Just get them all drunk, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I opened up the Steam page for House Party. Is this game relevant to you? Currently popular. And user reviews, mostly positive.
So there you go. If it's a fun game, it's a fun game.
But it's early access.
I mean, for goodness sake, there have been, air quote, naughty games since the beginning of gaming time. You used to get them out of the back of magazines. Like,
yes. Do you know what I reckon the trigger is, though, just to sort of wave the flag, you know, set my bra on fire? It's probably because there's dicks in it that the outrage has come out. You can have all the tits you like in games, but as soon as someone starts hanging dong, everyone gets upset. You can't, you know, there's not equal opportunities nudity in these things. So
that's why I always respected Rockstar's sort of slow push to include more dong in games. Yeah. When Trevor whipped out his dick in GTA 5, I was like, good on you, man. Good on you.
Yeah. That was a classic moment.
Watershed.
Yeah. Moving on then. Gamer cruise in limbo after losing its boat. Are they all on like an island or something? Or
no, what it is, it's one of these, I think they nicked the idea from a heavy metal thing, which is called, it's been going on for a few years now, which is sounds awesome. It's called 70,000 Tons of Metal. And they get like some bands and a load of drunk metalheads, and basically they just cruise around Fort Lauderdale in Florida, the Florida Keys, and have like a sort of week-long party with so you can be sort of up close and personal with the bands and hang out and all that sort of thing. So it seems successful. Like I say, it's been going on for a few years now. So it seems like they wanted to do sort of the same thing but with gamers.
Okay.
And they sort of advertised it, and then all of a sudden they haven't got a boat.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is kind of essential to a cruise.
Absolutely. Number one there on the list of things you need. Absolutely. I've heard of this sort of thing before. They have the, like, there's a Mac Geek cruise, which has too many
sounds in for me. Yeah, I know there was a Star Trek one also.
Yeah, I think whatever, sort of pick your fandom and you can go on a 2-week cruise and meet the guy who was in the TV show or the band or whatever.
Oh, Oh, it must be so awkward, though. Imagine if you keep bumping them into the breakfast line and things like that. It's like, oh.
This is the thing with a convention. You know, at least at a convention, you know.
You can leave.
Brent Spiner, Patrick Stewart, they have an out.
Yeah.
They have an escape route.
There was
with this. Yeah.
There
you can end up with the cast of TNG on a raft in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would make them do scenes.
Wesley, shut up.
What was the name? Now, there was a one-off TV show. Sort of.
I was just thinking that with
Steve Coogan. God,
was it Steve Coogan, yeah.
And Rob Brydon. And David Walliams was in it. And I'm looking up what it was called now because I can't remember for the life of me.
It's really good. I've seen it. I saw it a few years ago.
I've seen it a few times. They generally put it on around Christmas. Bear with me. Steve Coogan is a busy person, and finding one thing in his IMDb is actually Cruise of the Gods.
That's it.
And they are that Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan were in like a Star Trek like show and go on doing one of these cruises, but they actually hate each other, etc. It's funny.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I've done a few conventions in my time. So it's sort of doubly hilarious watching it. Yeah, it's a very good show.
Oh, and a young James Corden. Of course, he's the super fan, isn't he? I remember now.
Yes.
Yes. And Steve Coogan's an arsehole. He's the William Shatner. And sort of big and famous and rich, and Rob Brydon's not done so well. It's a good film. I Cruise of the Gods. So yeah, you absolutely need a cruise ship. Good luck to them.
Cruise?
I wouldn't go on a cruise if you paid me, but you know, that's just. Sorry, did you ask? Would you go on a cruise then? That was.
No.
No, sorry. I've just attacked cruises for no reason. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. It's a Royal Caribbean one. I'm kind of curious now. What
it's funny that the sponsor that pulled out was Red Bull, because they seem like they're willing to throw money at anything.
They really are. Hey, Red Bull, I can do my bike over large jumps. Do you want some money? Here you go. Wear a Red Bull helmet. Okay. Hang on. Destinations for 2018. I'm on the Royal Caribbean website now. And it said internet site.
Is it mostly the Caribbean?
It's actually not. Yeah. We start with Alaska, then the Caribbean, then the Bahamas, then cruises from the UK and Europe, US and Canada. Oh, the website's very not helpful in the area of finding.
I think that the Royal Caribbean, it sounds like a kind of place where if you're trying to book it online, you're doing wrong. The kind of people who go on cruises, to me, feel like they have people who organize that shit for them.
No, they go to the travel agent still. They go to an office and talk to a lady.
It seems like something either very, very poor or very, very rich people would do.
Oh, hang on.
It doesn't strike me as a middle class type thing.
Yeah, I've seen Titanic. I presume that's what it's like still.
Yeah,
you're either dancing
much
around the boiler, or you're having eating swan on the top deck.
Yeah, I feel like my only place in the Titanic would be building the fucking thing.
You can go on golf cruises, wine cruises.
Why? Oh, wine, I can see getting shit-faced at sea. That's fun.
Go on a wine cruise, just cruise to the off license and cruise back. That's all you need to do, isn't it?
You've really taken on the culture of Yarmouth, haven't you? It's good.
Yep.
It's good.
Well, look, it's, you know, I'm not going to say that South London didn't play a part in it, but it's funny enough, actually, there's loads of stuff in Yarmouth at the moment about, you know, commemorating the Titanic, and it's like, you know, honour and glory. And I walk by this poster, seeing that fucking thing sank because everyone fucked up. Why are we?
There is nothing to remember about it.
Why are we
there?
Celebrating the unnecessary death of hundreds of people again?
You think you have a bad? I live in Belfast.
Ah,
yeah, true.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Okay, and moving on. Metroid: Samus returns, harder difficulty in fusion suit, locked behind amiibo. This has been pissing me off.
Yeah.
Basically, the crux of this particular story is that the new Samus Returns game for 3DS will have particular functionality locked behind the amiibos, basically. Amiibos, which, if you haven't encountered them, are shitty little models with RFID chips in the bottom.
No, I will give them this. Amiibo, I actually think, as a figure guy, Amiibo, from what I've seen, like even on the quality of the versions you finally see on store shelves, not the ones that they show in the promotional pictures, as far as figures go, they are decent quality.
Okay.
but they're still ridiculously overpriced, and pulling this kind of shit is ridiculous.
They manufacture them again in that attitude of, here's Thunderdome, good luck, everyone. We're going to make 10 of these, and you can have... And now the feeling is basically they're pushing too far with what is locked behind owning one of these amiibos, being that a harder difficulty setting and other things like that in the game. And I kind of agree. I'm not interested in buying an amiibo of any description, and I'm certainly not interested in what I think they want me to do, which is mentally sort of mix in the cost and outlay of amiibo in with the release of a new game. Like, so Splatoon 2's just come out, so they'd like me to get Splatoon 2, but they'd also like me to get the three amiibo to go with it. And they want me
to amiibos.
Yes.
Sorry.
And they want me to do that with basically every Nintendo game. And it's not going to happen with any. So,
well, here's the thing. I agree that I think that that's what they're trying to do. But as you said, they're doing counterproductively by not even making enough of the fucking things for people to actually be able to do that, even if they were stupid enough to want to.
It's kind of like they almost want them to be Beanie Babies or something like that. God. And I think there are people who collect them. Of course there are people who collect them. It's a thing that can be collected.
From Atomic Trivia War game, didn't she? But yeah, I mean, the problem is that my big beef with this is that if you just buy the game, you now know there's stuff on that cartridge. You just can't have it. Even though you pay full price for this game. Fuck you. You can't have it. You've got to buy something else as well.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. It's paid DLC, but with the added shenanigan that even if you want to pay for it, you might not be able to.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done this for ages.
This is paid DLC with a real life mini quest thrown in. Fuck that noise.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm behind that. 100%. I mean, all the Nintendo games I own, except, you know, the Wii library and the GameCube library. That's right. I refer to them as libraries now. They all have amiibo functionality, but there's nothing really game affecting locked behind it. You know, on Mario Kart, you can unlock an outfit for your character that looks like the amiibo you've got. Big fucking whoop. But when you start saying, well, game modes and other things that really do affect the game are going to be locked behind it, that's a step too far.
Yeah.
That's just too far.
Exactly. This is very much a tipping point over that sort of slippery slope.
Yeah.
That people saw coming a few years ago with the introduction of, you know, the Toys to Life genre. I hate that title, Toys to Life. Mm. But,
The Toys to Life thing, like, God, what was, I can't remember the name of the game, but they showed
Lego Dimensions.
Well, that is an example of one, but they showed off at E3, they showed it off at the Switch. I think it was an EA game. It was multi-platform, but you got a little spaceship that you attached to your controller.
Oh, yeah.
And you added different things to the spaceship, and that added those things in the game. I get that. That's not a terrible idea. And if I were 9, I would lose my shit over that. There's no doubt about it. But my parents would have rolled their eyes. And I'm now at the eye-rolling age. I think that's the problem. So I can buy Hey Pikmin for the 3DS, or I can buy Hey Pikmin and the new Pikmin fucking amiibo for an extra $10.99. It's no good to me.
Stupid money in it.
Now, I'm just wondering if I type in Zelda amiibo, I'm going to get.
Quite a few of those.
They haven't got any, spoiler alert.
Yeah. That's what I'm betting.
Yeah, when I say they have a few of those, they have a few of those. You will not be having one of them.
God, these go as much as $34.99 for the wolf one.
Fucking hell. Mm.
And they're all pre-owned. There are no new ones of those. But you can get some of the others go around the 20 quid mark. They're basically the Zelda at $12.99. That's one as well. Well, that's a bit shitty, that one. You wouldn't want just that one. Oh, I like some of them, but I don't. I've got too much crap in my house that does nothing already. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the 8-bit Link now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But what am I going to do with that? There's shit all over my desk right now. I don't need to buy a thing that just sits on my desk.
And I'm looking through, I remember seeing a thing, and this was actually a couple of years ago. it was because the Amiibo, the technology of Amiibo is remarkably, simple. It's just an RFID chip, and there's a reader in your Switch or 3DS, and you put the things together. It recognizes the code for the particular figure. Mm-hmm. It unlocks the thing in the game. So a few years ago, and I'm finding it hard to find here, there was a company did make a little sort of puck that you could, as Amiibo, more Amiibo came out, they would upload the particular RFID codes, and then you could send the one to the puck that you wanted. You could say, all right, I want, and then, tap that, and it would work. It would activate the in-game functionality. And I'm finding it very hard to find it now, so I'm guessing Nintendo came down.
I'm just searching eBay for Amiibo, actually, because I did hear that, again, because, it's just a fucking RFID tag. There's nothing clever there. You could just buy sheets of RFID tags that were
They've done Amiibo cards. Nintendo have done that for, like, some franchises. They didn't want to put in the money to... They weren't sure that the actual figures would sell, so they just printed off a bunch of cards.
I'm looking at one of those sets now on eBay. The Zelda Breath of the Wild 18 Amiibo cards. Complete set, $29.99. Oh, no, and these are the cards. They look like they've got the same... They've got the drawings of the figures that I've just seen on Amazon on the cards. I should perhaps read the description.
Oh, wait, I found it. Yep. Oh, I found it from an article from, when was this? 2015. The Amiquo, an Amiibo cloner. It cost £50, but they have since been shut down. And it worked exactly like I said. It just sent the RFID code to a reprogrammable chip, which you then used with your Nintendo device of choice.
Or you just go to reddit.com/r/amiibomb/comment. Well, then it goes on, but it's how the easy guide to making your own Amiibo. Yeah.
I found another one. Yeah. This does seem to be like the new, what do you call them? The R4 chips that were, popular for, pirating games.
Yeah.
All those years ago. Yeah. The N2 Elite stores up to 200 Amiibos. Easy push button to effortlessly change characters. And they're selling it under the thing of backup your Amiibo collection. See if your collector's items in mint condition forever.
Oh, I might need some of these.
Family sharing of characters.
Oh, hang on. Right. You need NFC writing capability. This means Android phones with NFC.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that's me out of the game then. Oh, well.
Do iPhones not have NFC?
Yes, they do, but not for me to
not
be
to write.
Writing things with.
Oh, right, okay.
The official line is it's put in when it's the solution to a problem, not just because it exists. And it was put in to make Apple Pay work. And so that's what it's there for.
Okay.
Feel about that how you want. That's just one of those things.
I'm feeling about it how I want.
I know. I understand.
I'm not voicing it.
But to be honest, apart from Apple Pay and potentially pirating Amiibo RFID, I would have no use for it. because it's not a great technology, to be perfectly honest, but it's what we've got. But it looks like it's easy to make your own Amiibo. And... Well,
just imagining people like in prison for doing like because Nintendo's cracking down. And what are you in for? Murder? What are you in for? Oh, drugs? What are you in for? Oh, rip off Amiibos,
dude. Seriously, the fuck? Yeah, I'm on the website for this thing, the N2Elite.com, and it really is sort of that shady thing where they won't sell you one, but they give you a list of resellers.
Yeah.
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 It's that thing from the allotment. I can't sell you any vegetables with the allotment, but I can sell you this box, and the box happens to have some of my vegetables in it.
Yeah, I've come across a Verge article, Breath of the Wild and the Ethics of Amiibo Hacking. I will save that for later because that goes on, but it actually is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, cloning them.
Yeah, it's sort of it kind of reminds me again talking about collecting and stuff because Dad does goes to a lot of record fairs, and the police used to raid them because they would have like where I've been as well. They have blokes who will sell like bootleg CDs of gigs and stuff like that. So I remember I had sort of nice big stack of, I sort of started building up a stack of like recordings from this gig and that gig. And Dad was at one the police actually raided once years ago, and he had to sort of leg out the back door and, you know, get in the car and because they take it seriously. So yeah, I would, like you were saying, this is why they won't sell you one, but they will tell you where you can buy one.
Yeah,
because they don't want the Nintendo police kicking their door down at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I could totally see Nintendo, if they thought they could get away with it, having a private police force.
I think Apple do. I think, I think you'd be surprised what companies have that you don't know that they have.
Yeah.
Because I remember when this, you might remember a few years ago that some Apple engineer left an iPhone in the bar and Gizmodo got it. In fact, if you were alive then, you didn't miss that story.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah, there were lots of reports of men from Apple security turning up at people's houses and demanding things and taking things and all this sort of stuff. And them all realizing, hang on, it looks like Apple have got their own private police force and are just getting away with that fine. Okay. And then you suddenly realize, well, if Apple have that, then you know Google do, and Facebook, yeah, and Microsoft, and Amazon, and pick a name. Even I've got Kevin downstairs who keeps an eye on things. That's not true. But anyway, so yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't have that. Nintendo put, and do they also then have Nintendo jail? You might end up in there with like Wario or something.
Sorry. Or his amiibo, his rip-off amiibos.
Just imagining Nintendo jail and you're in there with all that Bowser's in there. It's quite rough.
It's like Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
I imagine they walk you through a hallway and it's walls full of cells, and you look into the cells and the cells are just full of mint condition packaged amiibo.
They are.
And you look at them and you say, why aren't these out on store shelves? Because we don't want them to be.
Yeah, some cells are full of NES Classic Editions as well.
What if I tell people? You won't be telling anyone anything.
Speaking of Nintendo games, looks like Resident Evil games are coming to the Switch. I'm excited. I've never played a Resident Evil game.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I bought my first one merely hours ago after, you know, at time of recording this episode. Well, in theory, the first one. But as you know, it's quite...
Which version?
Yeah. So there's the PS1 version, of course, that came out in 1996, which was...
The original.
Yeah. Which was remade in 2002. Yep. Then the remake was remastered in 2015.
Bingo.
But then the remaster of the remake was HD'd. That's... Mm. In 2016 and put out. So that was put out as a digital download, but then later it was put out on a disc with Resident Evil Zero, which was a new thing. So that's what I've bought, because it was about 19 quid on Amazon.
Not bad. My Resident Evil history is spotty. Yeah, the first Resi game I played was... It was Resident Evil 1, but it was on the DS.
Okay.
It was the DS port of Resident Evil 1. And you know what? It worked. They made that shit work.
There are versions for the 3DS that I actually have got on the list of games to get.
Yeah, my brother played Revelations on the DS. Yeah, that was... But yeah, it's... I think it's part of this thing that Nintendo is like, we're not just for kids. Honestly, look, you can play a game with blood in it and everything. Which sort of leads to the bizarre situation of you'll be cruising through CEX and see a copy of Call of Duty for the Wii. Who the fuck is playing Call of Duty on the Wii?
True.
Seriously. I mean, it's again, you know, this sort of weird sort of situation with Nintendo of, look, you know, here's a thing you can buy little plastic mans for, and you can, you know, here's the Joy-Cons, the neon colour, because it's loads of fun, and here, play this thing with gore and tits in.
What, you don't think that, like, House Party Amiibo are coming?
Oh, dear me.
Do they come with the fantastic. Black...
The rare ones are the ones without the black bar. They're the ones in Nintendo jail.
Yeah, no, I've heard that Revelations are Resident Evil Revelations is they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think the first one is good. The one that I saw my brother play that's set on a kind of creepy okay. ship. Yeah,
cruise.
But I'm a cruise. Yes, this is what happens when you go on a cruise. But I think the second one is a little bit questionable. I haven't really seen a lot of it though. But yeah, what's interesting though, because this remaster is also coming out for other consoles. I saw news about it on Xbox. I think they're not releasing it as a collection. You have to buy them individually on Xbox. Which is quite interesting. Well, forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but
because they were, I think. PSPs originally, or was it DS?
It was DS because I was saying I watched. Right. Yeah, so it's interesting that you can buy them as a pair on Switch, but not Xbox. Mm. So I wonder if that's the same for PS or the PlayStation. Sorry,
and I get the feeling that collection is only the physical release as well, because it says here that in the eShop for Switch they'll be sold individually as well. So I don't. I intend to get the physical release. Because that ain't no way I'm spending that much money on a download. It just still doesn't sit right. And yet, for some reason, that doesn't include Steam. I'm apparently quite happy to buy games off Steam.
That's because on Steam, they at least lower the price a little. They realize we don't have to deal with, the benefit of having a download is we don't have to deal with manufacturing discs, boxes, inserts, shipping that all around the world and putting it on shelf space. So therefore, we will absorb the cost of that, which doesn't exist, and pass the savings on to the customer. Nintendo don't do that.
Nope. Things cost the same in the store.
Sony don't do that. Yeah,
none of them do that. I mean, because they've started advertising on the Xbox store. They've started advertising for Wolfenstein 2, a game I intend to buy sort of soon as, but this is just the download, so you can preload it. So that means you can start playing it at 1 minute past midnight on release day. But for the game and the DLC, or the season pass, I should say, £70 to you, mate.
Ooh.
For a download.
Yeah.
Don't think so.
For that, I want the box.
Don't Precisely. Think so. Fucking hell. Yeah, I don't think I've ever...
That's the game and the season pass, so...
All right. I've never bought a game off PlayStation Store. Let me think. I have actually bought a couple off the Nintendo eShop for the 3DS because they were either Virtual Console games, so not really much choice in that. And I got Street Fighter 4 when it was like £4. So I didn't... I can live with losing that Street Fighter 4 for that much money. That's okay. But I'm not going to buy, like, Legend of Zelda that I might want to play again in 10 years or 15 years or something like that. I'd rather have the cartridge.
I think the only game I bought on the PlayStation Store was Hitman, the newest Hitman, and that was because it didn't have a physical release at first.
Right.
Yeah,
literally the only place you could
it,
buy it was online. After it sort of finished its first season, they brought out a physical copy, but I'm a fan of the series, so I wanted to play it, and that was my choice, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. So Resident Evil coming to Switch. I think the story is basically this is from Capcom, who did better than they expected with the Street Fighter 2. And so they have said they're piling all on the Switch. I put it to you that it is the console for serious gamers, as crazy as that sounds. If you want a game that runs at 1080p at 60 frames a second, go to the Switch, not the Xbox One X or the PS4 Pro. It's because they're trying to do 4K, and at best they're trying to do 4K at 30 frames a second, if it's even 4K really. The really good stuff is being done on the Switch.
Well, if you'd like to direct me to where I can buy one.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. No.
They're in the cells.
Yeah. Good luck for that. Yeah, they're one over from the NES Classic Editions, which are one over from the Amiibos. I don't know what to tell you. It is a horrible situation. But yeah, I think going forward, graphically, the Switch is not the write-off that some people would have liked it to have been by any stretch. And I just keep seeing more and more content from gaming sites and YouTubers and that kind of thing saying, what we should have pursued 60 frames a second. that is far better than 4K. And that seems to be what Nintendo have done. So, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Capcom, for your games. I will buy more of them. Anyway, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered is having a tough time on Steam. Why?
Because Activision are dicks.
Well, we know that.
This we know, but it's, the Modern Warfare Remaster. It came out with Call of Duty Infinite Warfare last year. And it was a remaster of the single player and multiplayer of Call of Duty 4, as it was then, Modern Warfare. And a lot of people were looking forward to this when it was announced. And then they announced that if you want to get this game, you have to buy it with Infinite Warfare. You can't buy it standalone. Now, Sony managed to snag a sort of early exclusive to the standalone version. But now that exclusivity has worn off, and they've released it onto Steam and other online stores at £35.
Ooh.
Which is a bit of a dick slap.
That's a bit much for a remaster of such an old game.
It is, yeah, it really is quite an old game. I love my time with Modern Warfare. It was a great game. It's sort of an important game in sort of the lineage of first-person shooters, especially on consoles. But the idea of paying what would have been near full price for the game when it originally came out?
Yeah, that's a bit... And I'm guessing if you got it with Infinite Warfare, how much is Infinite Warfare right now?
It's not great. Well, adding to this is the fact that because of the way they did it by shipping it with Infinite Warfare, they've essentially kneecapped the player base. Basically, the multiplayer side of things is dead.
Okay.
You'll be sitting around waiting forever to get into a game.
Okay. If you want to buy this for... Okay, so I'm on Amazon now. So if you want Call of Duty Infinite Warfare Legacy Edition, which comes with Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remaster, whatever, it's $39.99.
Yeah, and yet they're selling it. The standalone version of just the remaster is $35. How they can justify that?
If you want the version without the old game, it's only £14 brand new. So that says a lot. Or £10 pre-owned.
I'm looking on Steam here. It's to get the Legacy Edition is £60 on Steam.
Yeah.
So they're acting again as if basically what they're saying here is that the Modern Warfare Remaster is worth over 50% of the price of this bundle.
It's not though, is it?
It's really not. Really, it's a great game. I would have, if this had been £15 to £20, I probably would have been, you know, into that, just even to, you know, go through the single player game, because Modern Warfare was pretty much the last Call of Duty game to have a decent story. After that, it went way off the deep end into sort of paranoid right-wing conspiracy nonsense.
I think that was the last one I played. Which was the one I used to play with you on the Xbox?
That would have been Modern Warfare.
That one, right. Yeah. Then it was before then. I remember I'd never played the single player version of that game.
Yeah.
Couldn't be bothered with it.
It's an especially big, you know, sort of fuck you, especially considering Infinite Warfare, the latest edition, was not well received.
They've got to stop making these at some point, haven't they?
You know what, though? I was going to say, it's such a saturation point that I think the only games that anyone plays, it seems like anymore, is FIFA and Call of Duty. Because I went to a boot fair the other day and they were basically giving away copies of Call of Duty with the bacon baps. There was basically just tables and tables and tables of people with a gazillion copies of these games. And I feel like it's that thing that Assassin's Creed fell into for a little while. They were churning one out every year. And it's like, a lot of them just seem to be photocopies of the last one, especially the kind of Black Ops ones. They were very samey and not especially well received, but it's something that me and Rich were talking about, I think, last week, that with the multiplayer, it's you come across people who just never even bother with the campaign and just literally play multiplayer, play zombies, and that's it.
And the crazy thing is that the inevitable conclusion to that is Star Wars Battlegrounds that doesn't have a single player version and everyone hated.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, God, talk about something worthless in 10 years' time. If that, there'll be no point to buying or owning that game before.
I would wager that if you were to buy it now, you would probably be sitting around quite a while waiting to get into a game.
And it's only getting worse until eventually there's no one there.
Yeah, it's just an especially poor business decision as well from Activision to do this. They haven't been making great games for a while now. They've sort of been running on people who are invested in the sort of the Call of Duty ecosystem, as it were. And if they start making shitty decisions like this, there are other options now. There are plenty of other options out there, and people will move away.
Absolutely. Just looking at what Activision have done recently. Yeah, Call of Duty. Do you know, I think the Crash Bandicoot remake's gone down well.
Relatively, yeah, I would say so.
Destiny 2. I haven't played Destiny 1.
I didn't own it. I think I played a beta.
But people who like it seem to... Do you know what? As I go down this list, they have done some just stuff I wouldn't... Yeah, Transformers. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5.
Jeez.
Yeah, SpongeBob SquarePants, The Skylanders.
I remember when the Tony Hawk's games were good. It was called Tony Hawk's 2.
Three. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 was a defining thing in my university experience.
Where
every player gets 2 minutes. It's timed down in the game. Do you know how well that suits itself to being passed around a room of stoned students? Like, just play 2 minutes, give it to the next person. That's just what you do. Pass the spliff around the other way. That's it. I didn't even play. I was just there to get stoned. Truth is, it's actually one of the games that goes on the list of games I never figured out how the fuck to do it. I am appalling at it. I can't do it. So I'm as good at the computer game as I am at the real thing. And I haven't skateboarded since I came off, cut my head open and had to get 2 stitches. So, yeah, that was a long nice. Time ago. I did cry and cry, but Alison said I was ever so brave. I was like 9 or something, really. Yeah. Anyway, what else do we have? Oh, I like the look of this one. The All Controller might replace every controller you own. Thank
Looks nice.
God.
Yeah.
So this is basically a blank controller that can become any controller.
Yeah, it seems to have an onboard sort of profile manager. It can connect up to, it says it can connect up to any wired or wireless connection, which is funny because Microsoft especially are like really precious about their wireless, what signal they use to connect their controllers to the...
Yeah.
Thing they've been very precious about that they haven't shared that with third party control makers, and like they've actually shut down a few of them. So having this is something that can be constantly updated, I think, could help combat that.
This looks really nice, actually. I would definitely consider getting this because I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I do think the DualShock was created by Satan himself and put here just to make mankind less happy.
I noticed you tweeting about that.
Yeah. I hate it so very much.
This is the DualShock 4 talking about?
Yes, the DualShock 4. My all-time most hated controller.
Right. I see where you're coming from, but I view the DualShock 4 as... I agree with you on the points that you make, but I see it as more of a tragedy than that.
Okay.
Because I hate the original DualShock design. I think ergonomically, the shape of it and the choices of, button types and placement of things, I could never stand it. It always felt like cheap. And the plastic was slippery. Your hands would get sweaty. You'd slip all over it. And I never liked the thumbsticks. There was too much sort of give in them. There wasn't enough.
They always feel too far. They always feel too low down for me.
Exactly.
The dual shock. Like you always feel like you're pushing your thumbs down to get movement, where from relatively to where the buttons and the shoulder buttons are.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're sort of doing a kind of like if you make your index and thumb into like a C shape, that stretches too much. And for me, because I've had repetitive strain injury and elbow problems for a lot of years, it wasn't until, I mean, because I used DualShocks and yeah, found them always sort of ergonomically quite uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But the this reason why, some reason why I kind of like the Xbox one is the offset sticks. Because my problem's on my right hand side, so where the stick is on the right hand side is really comfortable for me. So that's why I kind of, with that controller, although it's nice because it hasn't got the offset stick, so I would go probably not for me.
Yeah, but this is where I'm talking about with the DualShock 4. They finally abandoned the DualShock, you know, 1 through 3 ergonomics, and they redesigned it, and they hit a really nice spot. If you pick up a DualShock 4, it feels really nice in your hand. The materials they used are great. It has sort of the textured grip on the back. Great choice of buttons, you know, like in terms of, you know, pressure, and the triggers are nice and squishy. And the 3D sticks, they fixed them up and made them much stiffer and gave them sort of less travel.
Mm.
And then they stuck a fucking trackpad and a light bar and a microphone on the fucking thing.
Yeah. And a speaker.
And the speaker. So stupid. If you took that off this, it would be beautiful.
I think everybody would love one without a light bar. And I think ultimately the problem is that the battery life on a DualShock 4 is about 18 seconds.
It's pretty bad.
You just look at that light bar on the back thinking, look at all the battery you're using for no reason whatsoever.
But you see, that is slightly a false sort of economy, because I looked into this. I looked into, because they allowed you to dim it ever so slightly with a system update. But I looked into, well, hold on. Can I not just open up the controller and just cut the wire that goes to the light bar? Can that not be done? And that can't be done. The way the DualShock 4 is wired up, if the light bar fails, the controller dies. The light bar is an essential part of this controller. If you cut the wire to the light bar, your controller will not turn on.
Wonderful.
It's an amazingly stupid piece of design.
I mean, my biggest problem is the trigger buttons that are the bottom of the controller, meaning you cannot put it down. You just can't.
That's true.
Especially if you're on YouTube or something like that. It's not so bad in a game. If you're not playing it, you pause the game. That's fine. But you quite often put YouTube on and put the controller down for 20 minutes. And it just, if you look at it, it will nudge just enough.
It'll just tap the button.
And the way it's set up, there's no, you know, because they're obviously analog triggers. So you could have it so that you have to pull it all the way to trigger fast forward, but no, just any acknowledgement of touch on that button, and it's suddenly skipping through the entire video. And it drives me fucking insane.
I had not noticed that, but you are correct. I'm holding it in my hand, and that's...
And I swore it wasn't always like that. And I've double checked. I went and looked at the DualShock 2. And of course, it's got the trigger buttons, but they aren't the bottom of the controller.
They're shielded.
Yeah. Why did they get rid of that?
Which is especially ironic considering, you know, DualShock 2 was for a system that was not really a media player.
Exactly. So it just infuriates me. The trackpad I can take or leave. I mean, it's no use whatsoever.
I've never found a game that actually used it. It's just a big button.
GTA 5 uses it for switching radio stations. That's pretty much it, as far as I'm aware. I played my first game that uses it as a motion controller the other day. Gravity Rush, is it?
Oh, right.
So you move it around and it uses the 6-axis motion sensing thing, and it's awful. You turn it off immediately.
Well, because I was about to mention this, actually, because if you've played the game Until Dawn, which is a sort of a branching narrative kind of survival horror type game.
Sort of a slasher flick.
But I mean, because I've done a PlayStation, I haven't played it myself, but I've watched people play it online, like on YouTube, and it has sections of it that you have to hold the controller dead still to hold your character, you know, so it doesn't get spotted by the baddies. And I don't think I've seen one person, one YouTuber, successfully execute this move.
Really?
Literally putting it on the table doesn't work.
It has to register some motion that you're still holding it.
Either that, or because you're not meant to move it at all. You're meant to hold it dead still.
Oh, right. So it's just
and the game is like, no, you moved it. You're dead.
Right.
So, yeah, it seems very twitchy.
It can work. It can be done well. I love the motion sensing controls in on the 3DS when you're doing it with Ocarina of Time, that kind of thing. It's actually preferable to aim things that way. It's that good. But yeah, not having the same experience with the PS4 controller. Hate that. Hate it so very much. Let's move on before I just get upset. Oh, sorry. Oh, and that controller is a Kickstarter.
Yeah, says it should be shipping next year, Marchish.
Well, fingers crossed for them.
We'll see how it goes.
It's hit its goal of $75,000. They've got $95,000, so they can get a nice coffee machine for the office. And that's it. That's the news this week. I didn't see that coming. I opened up more tabs and I thought they were news ones, but they're not. Fucking hell. I'm closing the last tab. It's moved to the next tab that was open, which happens to be the search I did for Super Mario Brothers earlier. And what just my eye just landed on was the Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch machine, and the fact that they're going for £50 now. Okay.
Bloody hell.
Or the fact that you can actually still buy one. But of course you can. Why wouldn't you be able to, I suppose? So anyway, what's been happening in our gaming worlds this week? That's a better way of putting it, I suppose. Yeah.
Mm.
Emma, what have you been up to? Playing much?
Playing Far Cry 4. I moved on to Far Cry 4, having finished 3. It's essentially the same thing as we talked about before when I was talking about Far Cry 3 and Mike was saying about essentially the mechanics are virtually identical. The actual narrative is fairly similar, but that's the Far Cry setup. Basically, you are a bloke who's sort of thrown into a bad situation and you have to figure it out. In this one, Far Cry 4, you're a young fella called AJ. You're in a sort of Kashmir, sort of Tibet kind of country run by a Tim Pop dictator called Pagan Min. He seems like a giggle. You're there to spread your mum's ashes in a place that you can't get to because of Pagan. So go and solve your problems. It's once again, I find myself falling into Ubisoft trap of enjoying the side quest much more than the main mission so far. The main mission, which I didn't realize, is you have two people who are trying to run this rebellion called the Golden Path in two separate ways, and you have to pick between them. Which is fine, but what the game doesn't tell you is right now you have to go and see the other one and get yelled at in a cutscene for 5 minutes yeah. about how much of a dick you are, and then go and do it all again. It's like, mate, I didn't come here to be told off. I'm coming to have a lot, you know, snipe people and run around and throw people's cars across the road with an elephant, which is a right laugh, by the way. or, you know, zip around the place in a little helicopter and ramp off cliffs and stuff like that, you know. It's and then you've got to go and see the teacher to get told off about how much of a dick you are. It's like, oh, well, I hope they sort of drop that part of it. So I'm not very far into the main story. Like I said, I've been doing quite a lot of the side stuff, like they're buggering off to Shangri-La and all this sort of thing and the Himalayas, which is, you know, it's good fun and highly enjoyable, looks beautiful. But yeah, the main story, Ubisoft, what are you doing? Please throw me a bone.
It's funny because I enjoyed, well, I finished Far Cry 4 and I enjoyed the story. By the end, I enjoyed it a lot more than Far Cry 3's story. I thought there was a bit more to it.
Yeah, hopefully it's just a case of sort of getting over the hump of having to go and get told off by what the faction leader you didn't side with. Hopefully sort of getting over the hump of that. But like I say, actually doing doing the missions are fun, quite varied, you know, nice mix of stealth and action and blowing stuff up and running around. So yeah, it's enjoyable, but it's that thing of, oh, I've got to go and get told off now, which is sort of detracting with it from a little bit. But yeah, I was going to say, I find your Pagan Min is a much more enjoyable villain than Vaas and the other arsehole from Far Cry 3. So yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. So yeah, hopefully, say it's one of those, you know, if I'm sort of up, when I think you look at the clock and it's like 1:30, if you, oh, just one more thing before I go to bed. It's usually, it's sort of getting the general thumbs up. So yeah, I'm sort of in that space with it at the moment. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. We'll see where it goes.
Do you know about the secret ending?
I know about the one that if you, right at the beginning, if Pagan sort of says, you know, wait here. And of course you're like, no, fuck that, I'm out. If you just sit there, the game,
he
explains it. Yeah. He comes back, says, oh, good, you're here, explains more stuff and then leaves, and then that's the game, finishes.
Yeah, the game ends. And it's like, yeah.
I did think about doing that.
Awesome.
Yeah. I did think about doing that, but I thought, no, I actually want to play it, and then I can always go back and start a new game and just do that, because it's literally right at the beginning of the game. So, yeah, I think I'll I know about it. I don't know exactly what it entails, so I'm going to save that for the end.
Yeah, good choice. Good choice.
Well, I honestly haven't been back to Far Cry 3. I'm still willing to give number 4 a go.
Yeah, I would say skip. If you sort of, obviously there's the thing that you weren't mega happy about, like all the hunting stuff. You still have to do that to craft upgrades. But I mean, it's just one of the, it's such a minor part of the game. It's just one of the things you kind of have to do. Mm. Although I did get severely pissed off with trying to kill a rhino the other day, to the point that I shot it like 4 times with a sniper rifle, the fucking thing is still running around. I emptied a clip of an AK-47 into it, the bloody rhino is still running around. It started charging me. I was all right, fuck you then. I got an RPG and blew it out, smeared it across the landscape, and then the game says its skin's too damaged, you can't use it. I was like, fuck you then. and funnily enough, I thought, all right, I'll Google it. So I said, how to kill a rhino? And Google autocompleted in Far Cry 4. So I'm not the only one who got fucked off enough to blow it apart with an RPG, by the sounds of it.
Well, that sounds like fun. Mike, what have you been playing?
Well, irritatingly, not as much as I hoped I would be. Like, you know, I've been recuperating for the past couple of weeks.
I had forgotten about that. It is fair enough that you've probably just been lying there.
Well, no,
feeling
I was
sorry
really irritated. Well, yeah, that too. But that's just, you know, that's a day-to-day thing, son. No, I had hoped that I'd be able to use the time to catch up on some games. But unfortunately, due to the nature of my surgery, my head was all stuffy and I couldn't focus on anything. I tried jumping into games, but I was just getting pissed off with them and skipping through things, not really paying attention. So I ended up just sort of lying and catching up on TV instead. Until past couple of days, I've been loading up some emulation. I decided to revisit some of my childhood memories on the N64.
All right.
And some of them are, you know, some of them hold up okay. Most are a little tarnished. And some things are as bad as I remember them being. You ever play South Park on the N64?
It's that...
It was a first-person shooter?
I've played the game, but I've played the PC version.
There was a PC version of that?
There was a PC version, yeah. And you threw snowballs, and you could do the secondary fire of pissing on the snowball?
Yeah,
I've played that game.
Yeah, except with the N64 version, you have to do that with a single analog stick and the C buttons. And I have my emulator set up perfectly, but it is virtually impossible. And it seems as though, like, if you were imagining how they would do, you know, what today would be, you know, a 2-stick control scheme, move with one, look with the other, you would imagine they would have your movement be with the analog stick, and looking around, looking up, down, left, or right would be with the C sticks. But no, they decided to swap that around. You move with the C sticks, and you look with the analog stick. So you're look. you're looking with your left hand, which is just so much less accurate.
That's weird.
And you're already suffering a loss of accuracy from having to use the C buttons. It really is unplayable, even on with a modern controller. So, yeah, that's fun. And it also, it just generally lacks. Like, I really enjoyed it. Did either of you play the Stick of Truth?
I played 10 minutes with.
Really? Not yeah, get into it?
Didn't get into it.
I loved it. I loved it because it felt like they really put the effort in with it, the writing and the polish, you know, making sure that it looked and felt like, you know, a long sort of series of episodes of the show. The South Park game on N64, it is apparent just from the moment you pick it up, nobody gave a fucking shit about this thing. This was farmed out. There's no story. The dialogue is crap. It's just terrible.
I seem to remember it being sort of a tick sheet of get things from the show in the game. So here are aliens and cows and
turkeys.
And because it's very early South Park, it was...
This would have been very, very early into the show's...
Yeah, just sort of Mr. Hanky time, because wasn't it? I think because Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh is in it and things like that.
Yes, he is. This maybe would have been like 3 or 4 series in.
Yeah, it was real early days, but around that time, I think, if memory serves.
Now, there is another N64 South Park game, which is Chef's Love Shack. I haven't actually looted that up yet, but it's a
is that multiplayer. Like House Party?
It's not like House Party, sadly. I don't think an N64 cartridge could have contained the late, great Sir Isaac Hayes.
No.
But in so many ways. But yeah, it's like a trivia game that was meant to be a multiplayer game, you know, a South Park trivia game. So I don't know how I'm going to manage that, if it even has a single player mode. I don't know.
I still haven't played the Friends trivia game yet.
That's sad.
I know.
But it's interesting that, like, I think South Park on, I don't think it was on N64, but on PlayStation, it had a racing game, a go-kart game, you know, in the style of Mario. I think. I may be misremembering that. That may be a fever dream.
I'm looking up list of South Park video games.
You know, I would wager, if it's there, that they called it South Park Racing.
Let's see. So, South Park, original release date 1998, N64, Windows, and PlayStation. So I'm assuming that's the one we just talked about. Then South Park Chef's Love Shack. There South Park Rally.
Oh, damn them.
On Dreamcast, PlayStation, and N64. Those were the days.
Oh, so there is an N64. I mean, that's an interesting cross-section of consoles. Dreamcast, PlayStation, and N64?
Yeah.
That's...
Should have been on the GameCube, you would have thought.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, but no, N64, there it is.
I wonder what I'd love to see a comparison of, you know, the N64 version versus the PC and the Dreamcast version, because the Dreamcast was a decent machine.
It really was. I would kind of like one in here.
It was a nice machine.
Yeah, they're really not expensive to buy. It's the games that are expensive to buy.
Yeah,
I think you can get a Dreamcast for under 40 quid, which is fine. But yeah. Then look at game prices. God, there was a 10-year gap in South Park game release between South Park Rally. That apparently was enough for them to think again.
I'm noticing here in the South Park Rally, something that struck me whenever I loaded up the South Park, you know, South Park first-person shooter. It's by Acclaim, who people may or may not remember, but they were like a big name.
They were.
And they were also well known for not being nice people. They were the ones who liked to do stupid, what do you call it? Stupid, controversial publicity stunts.
Okay.
For games. They offered to sponsor people who were willing to have Acclaim logos put on their headstones for Shadow Man, I think that was.
Didn't they get someone to tattoo their face with it as well?
Possibly. Let's see. During Acclaim's towards bankruptcy, A promise that £6,000 prize would be awarded to UK parents who would name their baby Turok. Another was an attempt to buy advertising space on actual tombstones for Shadow Man's Second Coming.
Oh, I wondered why there hadn't been a Turok game for ages.
Yeah, Acclaim went under years ago. They're not well remembered.
Yeah, 2004.
The BMX XXX series? How did that become a series?
Except by Turok Smith, who's now in Class 3B at such and such primary.
But they did the Double Dragon games.
What's your name? Turok? Parents Hippies? No, gamers.
They did Smash TV. They did Bart versus the Space Mutants.
All companies like this, you know, they start off pretty well. That's how they become big. And then something goes wrong. Some change in management, someone gets into a position of power that really should not have been allowed. And then they wreck everything.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat, that's them.
Yeah.
A lot of WWF games. I'm just going through their list now. Buster Move, that was them. That was a big thing, Buster Move, wasn't
it? I like
it?
Buster Move, that's fun.
Don't think I ever played it. I know what it is, yeah. But I never played it.
And lots of stuff. Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, probably shit X-Men games, because there are only shit X-Men games. South Park, and more Buster Moves. Oh, and they did all the South Park N64 games, it would seem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that even the South Park Rally, from South Park the Shooter to the South Park Rally Game, are all acclaim, which may, you know, shed light on why there's a 10-year gap between South Park games.
Yes, yes. I'm trying to pinpoint where it might have gone wrong for them. And I can't, there's nothing, maybe 2003 actually. That's just baseball games and Quad Power Racing 2. Oh, Burnout 2, that was a thing, wasn't it? I've been looking at the Burnout games for the GameCube.
From what I'm looking at here, it seems like they sort of attempted to expand and open multiple studios, and they may have sort of overreached themselves.
Ah.
And then
there's your problem.
They started the sort of controversial bullshit.
That'll do you. Don't be doing controversial shit, people. Well, okay. Well, I'll tell you what I've been playing this week then. Fucking everything. It's ridiculous. Right, let's see. I've been collecting... Right, so in preparation for doing sort of big articles / YouTube videos on sort of series of games, I begun ordering James Bond games, mainly based around the GameCube, but only for my own collecting purposes, generally that era of consoles. So I've been playing a couple of those.
James Bond, Nightfire...
I think
pretty damn good.
Nightfire, and I think the other one is Agent Under Fire.
Yeah.
They were into fire. There are some ones for the 360 too, like...
Yep.
I want to say...
Hang on, they're on order. Let me just double check.
Okay.
I've ordered loads. Because they're so fucking cheap now. It's not like they're 20 quid a game or
no,
anywhere near.
Now,
yeah, so let's see. Completed orders. Right. So I've got... 007 Everything or Nothing on the GameCube coming. These ones are all on order now. So 007 From Russia With Love on the GameCube. Quantum of Solace on the Xbox 360. James Bond Bloodstone on the Xbox 360.
That's the one I was thinking, Bloodstone, yeah.
GoldenEye Rogue Agent for the GameCube, which I'm told is fucking awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
Nightfire's good. The Rogue Agent, or Double or Rogue Agent, whatever it was called, awful.
So I've got, a Nightfire and Agent Under Fire on the GameCube as well. So I've been playing those. I need to be convinced, so I will play some more. I also, more significantly though, discovered Pikmin for the first time this week.
Sorry, just going back here, it's surprising to me that there hasn't been a James Bond game since 2012.
I don't know how well they do.
But you would imagine that, regardless of how well they do, it's James Bond. They market, you know, they license the shit out of that.
That's very true. I think I could get a James Bond license of some kind.
Yeah.
Something podcast related. I don't know. You'd think there'd be some good ones, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So I'm going to do something with all the James Bond games.
Cancel games. Octopussy. How could you cancel Octopussy?
How could they never make a proper remaster of GoldenEye and so many other things, though?
True.
So that's that, and then Pikmin. What else? I've been playing the Halo remaster that they did on the Xbox 360, which is just phenomenal.
It really is.
I forgot how much fun that game was. And it's you sort of think, well, this looks good, but I don't remember it being much worse than this. And you press the button that switches back to the old graphics, and you scream in pain and
yes,
press it
eyes.
Back frantically. Like, what the hell was that? What? Oh, my God, we didn't play that, but we fucking did, you know?
You sort of think, there is no way I could have been this easily pleased.
we were so good
times.
And it's do you know what, I think it was so far for me ahead of all the other first person shooters at the time. It was the first one that got the control method right, and that the weapon you started with was so satisfying to use for a long way through the game. There was so much to it that was a first for that one, and it's kind of ruined me for other ones.
I'll tell you what, though, I never want to do that thing. We have to keep frightening the flood, though, in that library.
Oh,
fuck that level, man.
That's the worst bit of that game by a long way. But I've also, you see, I've been playing Metroid Prime, and as it's okay, it's a very clever game, very well made. It's a Nintendo first person shooter. It has all the traits that one would expect that to have, but still, you're playing it, and in the back of your mind is, this is nothing like Halo. This is not a fucking patch on Halo.
It's funny because that's one of the things people sort of lost their shit about at E3. There was the very brief revelation that they're working on Metroid Prime 4.
That is the thing that got me into all of this old console shit. That thing, because I'd never even heard of Metroid Prime. And then they announced Metroid Prime 4, or merely that they are working on one, and one day, if we don't all blow up, then there will be a Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah, it's funny. I love Metroidvania-style games. I've never finished a Metroid or a Castlevania.
They're very hard, from what I gather.
They're quite difficult. I got quite far into Symphony of the Night, the Castlevania game, the one that everyone loves. But then they wanted me to do the upside down castle, and I was like, fuck that shit.
Oh, fuck that, no.
See, I've just started having a go at Symphony of the Night as well. And it's all, with the Castlevania anime that came out based on Castlevania 3, and all you hear is, yeah, it's based on Castlevania 3. Castlevania 3, I've never played that one. Oh, it's hard. Oh, it's hard. It's the hardest one. No one's ever finished it. Whatever.
To this day, people still talk about it in hushed whispers.
Yes, and so
that's why there's an anime about it, so you can see the end.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the things. Like I said, I've used my recuperation. I decided I was feeling shitty enough that I decided to catch up on and finish watching Iron Fist.
Oh, how did you feel about the end there?
I did not feel. I didn't even feel the joy of having pushed through it. I didn't even have the relief of having done the painful thing and having it pass me. It was just shit.
Yes. Yes. That's pretty much what I thought you'd say. And I have no argument with you.
Yeah. So I'm looking for, but I was sort of, when I was finished, I was like, I could have watched Castlevania instead. I could have watched, you know, series 2 of Ultron. But I had to, I felt obligated because Defenders looks like it's going to be quite good. I felt obligated to push through this crap.
Yeah. I would have done if I'd not already finished it.
Yeah. I got up to episode 8, you know, over the first couple of days after it came out. And I after episode 8, I was like, I don't care that you're Danny Rand. I don't care.
Fuck off back to where you were.
Yes, you are irritating everyone. You have this wonderful supporting cast who are really good, and you're ruining everything. The show would be so much better just watching the supporting cast getting on with their shit.
Yes.
Without him.
Absolutely. He is irritating.
So they say they brought on, I was amazed whenever they announced that there's going to be a series 2 of that, but like completely new showrunners, and they say that his character is going to like change drastically
into maybe something interesting and less whiny.
Into something less whiny. But yeah, so I do want to catch up on the Castlevania. Well, I say catch up. I need to watch the Castlevania show.
You only need an hour or hour and a half. There's four episodes at sort of 25 minutes long.
I keep forgetting that. I keep expecting to have to strap in for like a, you know, an 8 to 10 episode.
Yeah, it's barely a movie length, really. So be prepared for an open ending there. You know, okay. It doesn't wrap up. Yeah, there's only four of them.
This is very much just the tip.
Yeah, it does end with a, and so come on, let's go. And you're like, yeah, episode 5. Oh.
Which was very much like Halo 2.
Yes, it was.
Let's finish the fight. What? No. What? This is the end of the... You fucker.
Yeah. Like, I'm not done. But now I need Halo 3.
That was a long wait.
It was as well, wasn't it?
And it was a long wait.
We all went and got it. Oh, yes, well. We did.
I got the special edition of that one.
I've never owned a special edition.
The helmet. The one that came with the Master Chief helmet.
I remember the one, yeah. Yeah. How's that helmet now?
It's years ago, I had a falling out with the Halo franchise. And to my shame, I really regret having done this. I sold the helmet.
Oh.
That's a big regret for me because it really was a really nice piece of sort of memorabilia.
And I felt bad just trading in Just Cause 3. So,
yeah.
I'm not ever trading anything ever in again, ever. Barring... Not even if there's a massive financial emergency. I would then try and take the trouble to sell everything myself. Not that these games are really worth much. I mean, for God's sake, there might be a lot of them, but they're all like the Little Britain game. So, yeah, there's no expensive games up there that are going to make me rich one day. Anyway.
But you like them, and that's what's important.
I don't, but I like owning them. I will write about the ones that are absolutely hideous, but it's got to be done carefully because there's a lot of people that rant about bad video games and I don't want to do it in the same way as everybody else. So I'm working on that. I've got a lovely review of the Kirby game up on YouTube though. And in fact, the RSS feed for this show, I thought that was a little bit cheeky, but then it seemed to work putting like game reviews on the feed with the gaming news podcast. So that's out there to listen to, everybody, and I'll be doing more of those, and they have a YouTube equivalent as well, so that's the thing to watch out for. I'm doing all this because it's basically the end of the show pretty much, I think. We don't get email. Let's just see. I will put out the email address as gamingnews@simplysyndicated.com if you want to email us about anything. I think we'll always be happy to hear from you, if not disagree with you a lot. But just
if you want to contact me, just stuff your head into a pillowcase and scream as hard as you can. I can usually hear that.
There you go. Or just say his name in front of a mirror 3 times and he appears. And
write it on a piece of paper and flush it down your toilet. It will get to it'll come up somewhere.
I get a lot of weird mail. My postman hates me.
Oh dear.
Either that or what we could do actually is if we could run a little unofficial poll. I'm interested to see what people think because I've got my birthday money burning a hole in my pocket at the moment, and I can either, there's 2 games coming out soon which I'm very interested in. I've got Assassin's Creed Origins and Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus. Which one do I plunk my money down on to go for early? Because my instinct is to Wolfenstein because Ubisoft games are always broken to begin with.
Yeah.
But I really want to play Assassin's Creed Origins. So, answers on a postcard. Which one should I go for?
I would pluck for Wolfenstein.
Me too.
I would. That's my leaning too, yeah, at the moment. But I am interested to see what other people think.
I feel like Ubisoft have a lot to prove, whereas Wolfenstein, you're pretty much guaranteed it's going to work. It is at the very least going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm now at the point with Wolfenstein that I've stopped watching the videos that people are putting out of, you know, the first 18 minutes of the game and this trailer, that trailer. I've stopped watching stuff because I don't want to know any more than I already know. Yeah, so if I'm sort of to that level with it, it's probably a good indication that I'm sort of leaning that way. But as well, Special Edition doesn't really come into it because I'm not asked about them, so it would be the game and the season pass that I'm thinking of. So
just the sort of brief related thing. The one of the things that's been doing my head in is Bethesda's E3 showcase. They had The Evil Within 2. I don't know if anyone's played The Evil Within. It seemed to be sort of a mixed response.
Yeah, it was a bit janky.
People thought it was a bit janky. Not my thing. But for the trailer for The Evil Within 2, they had an amazing version of Ordinary World.
Yes, they did. Yeah, I saw that trailer and I was really struck. I actually watched it again to listen to the track again.
And the thing is, they didn't put out any information on it. You know, it wasn't in the credits. It wasn't anywhere. And people were like, is it this version mixed with this version or is it an original, you know, cover? And it turns out it is an original cover version. And so I'm just hoping that it gets a release somewhere.
Yeah, get a set. Maybe there'll be an ODST and they'll be.
I don't give a shit about The Evil Within, but I just really, that song, I need to hear it without all this, you know, sound effects and dialogue in the background. Because I quite like a good cover, you know?
Covers are good.
Good covers are good.
Okay, then. Is that's everything, isn't it?
That's everything, yes. Okay. Sorry.
No problem. Encourage email. It's a good thing. Email us, everyone. I don't know why. It just seems like a good thing. Just do it, please. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. And if you can't wait, check out some of the other stuff on simplysyndicated.com because there's a crap ton of it. Okay. Until then, bye-bye.
You fucking keep that in.
I will as well. I will. Don't worry. I will.